been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting live every Thursday at 4 p.m. from Ferrari of the Woodlands right here in Texas. This is a show where we interview the brightest and best business owners all across the state of Texas about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today is my co-host, my first-time co-host, and Catherine Bates. How are you doing, Catherine?
I'm good. Good, thank you.
Yeah, she's doing good. And we have in the studio also the faculty from the Sam Houston State University Entrepreneurship Degree Program, Chip Matthews. Chip is a professor. He's a CPA and attorney. What's going on? What's new in your world, Chip?
Not much. Just happy to be here.
Yeah. He canceled his Astros game. He was supposed to go to the Astros, but decided he wanted to hang out with us this evening. So we're excited to have you here. We've got a great show. We have an awesome guest. We have Claudia Leonardo, and she's in the restaurant business and in a big way, and we're going to get into her story. It's an exciting story, and we're really excited to share her knowledge and wisdom about what she's learned in the restaurant business over the years. The Shrimp Tank is also the show that brings you the live pitches from new business ideas from young entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas, and they do it in front of our panel of business owners to see whether or not your business will sink or swim in the tank. So I'm feeling pretty good today. I got my my green socks with deer on them that just got back from Park City, Utah. I said that, it was nice. It was like 72, but, it's not 72 outside here. You guys walked in sweating, I think.
Yes, we did. Yes, I certainly did,
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're in this Ferrari dealership. It's nice and cool in here, and this is the coolest place. If you have not been in the Ferrari garage, the Ferrari dealership, it's right here on Lake Robbins Drive, kind of catty corner to the movie theater. And we're in the Artelia Design Center, and this is where all of the wheels and the steering wheel and the steering wheels, the leathers, the seats, so I was asking Paul. By the way, Claudia, Paul said that he eats at your restaurant Cyclone and I is like three times a week. He must lives right around. He was already a fan when we told him that you were coming over. He was excited to get to meet you. And then also, I was asking Paul. Thank you. I said, "Hey, what's your big seller here?" He said, "There's a Spider 488 model, and the one he sold this morning. The guy's got to wait 2 years on it because all of these Ferraris are sold." So listen, you don't have to buy a Ferrari to come check this place out. You should just walk in Chip, did you get Paul to start up a Ferrari for us?
Chip's no. Bought one cash. He paid cash for one today.
No.
He did? Yes, he did. I seen by.
They have terms on them. So I don't know. I think one's getting ready to start up. What do you think?
No. We have the sound effects again that Dan does every week.
That's not the real Ferrari starting up, but the Shrimp Tank's the show that brings young entrepreneurs. Hey, we just had a young entrepreneur walk in our studio here, Trey Diller. We're talking to Trey about coming on one of our shows. How are you doing, Trey?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. So we know in the United States, most jobs are created by small business owners. And, Claudia is no small business owner. Let me get into your bio just a minute because...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, so we're going to tell all about Claudia right now. It's actually fascinating to me. We had a little conversation yesterday getting ready for the show, but Claudia lives in the Woodlands. She's got three boys. She's got over 25 years experience in various branches of creative design, catering, and the restaurant industry. And you also did work in Paris, France, Milan, Italy, and you grew businesses and companies there. One of them had four entities and eight stores, the way I understand that in your bio, Claudia. So I guess you started working at a young age, and you like to work hard.
I started really, really young. I come from a very hardworking family. My dad is, taught me since I was 11. Really, to be an entrepreneur, and I was baking cakes for him in one of the small cafeterias that he had in when he started in the pharmaceutical business, and I was 11 and I started that it's just in my veins, I guess. It's just part of my blood. And I haven't never stopped.
You know, that's one of the things we run into in teaching entrepreneurship is that people who come from families where mom and dad or whatever were entrepreneurs, it is kind of in your blood. They seem to understand some of the things that they need to do to succeed better than people who don't have that background.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it comes, you know, it was the way of living, you know, that my mom worked in a counter and my dad ran the pharmaceuticals, you know, the pharmacies that we had. And I kind of had to be with them doing my my homework. And then all of a sudden I went like, hey, can I start baking cakes and selling the cafeteria? And that's many years ago.
Helping out at a young age, right?
Yeah, it's a learnt behavior. If you see your parents working hard, you do find the children work hard as well, even if they don't really need to. They just do because that's what they've always grown up with.
What they've seen, yeah. I went to my cleaners today, and there's a lady working behind the counter. Two little girls are there, and you know what? They look like they're 10 years old, but you know, probably by the time they're 11 or 12, they'll help out with different duties like that. So I'll go on a little bit more with your bio here, Claudia, is that in 2007, you moved to the United States, and today you operate two very successful restaurant concepts here in the Woodlands, and one is known as Cyclone Anaya's, and then you also have the restaurant where we met, which was at your Nick's Fish Dive and Oyster Bar, and you currently operate as the president of that company. Between the U.S. and Mexico, you have interest in 24 different restaurant concepts. That's quite amazing. So you must have learned quite a bit along the way.
Yeah, you learn. You learn the hard way, you know. It's not the same of having businesses back home. When we decided to open, when I was crazy enough to, you know, to start a restaurant in the States, I thought that I had all the know-how. You know, we ran the business in Mexico for a few years, and you think that, I can do it. It's easy. You know, we have everything that we need. Well, it's not necessarily that way. You know, we run into a lot of different problems, labor, and the know-how is completely different. The way you run a business here has nothing to do except, you know, providing good food. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in every restaurant we have. Yeah. But we did go through a lot of challenges.
Yeah, I have people all the time want to start restaurants talk to me, and they're all about what color tablecloth should I get and what color light fixtures should I get. And I'm always telling them, good food, good service, and a good price. That's what you need to make it work in a restaurant.
That's really funny that you mentioned that, because that is the culture here. And we learned that. In my country, it's different. It is that, but you have to really provide a very good atmosphere, and you have to be really different, and it's important how you look, you know, and we focus, and that's what I do. Actually, you know, I'm an interior designer, and I've been in the designer section of many business for years, but what we learn here is exactly what you just said. You know, but it's a learning curve.
She starts first with, hey, we're going to make the place look really cool. It's going to be an exciting concept, a place you want to come, and we're going to have good food and good service and all of these other things. So it sounds like that's a...
All together, you know, it's a package that comes together.
Yeah.
But at the end, what matters is in the States, it's food and service.
Do you find it more competitive here or in Mexico? Is it harder here or... over there?
I think the Woodlands is probably the most difficult market in the world.
So many
I bet they go, they close all the time, you know, and 50% of the small businesses don't make it anyway.
The Woodlands is just beginning to grow. Remember that this year we just have probably between 2015 and 16, we have 50 restaurants open in the Woodlands. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, starting. Mm. But if you go to Houston and, you know, all big cities in Dallas and Fort Worth and, you know, you have great, great places and a lot of people that.
And you do stand out. You have to stand out and be different because there's a lot of chain restaurants here.
Differentiation.
Yeah, you've got to be different because there's a lot of chains and there's a lot of fast food.
That's exactly what we're focusing on. You know, Nick's is my new baby.
Yeah, it's very
nice. You know,
nice.
And this is the first restaurant with this concept. When you have a new concept, you know, you start with an idea and then you start polishing it. You know, it's just a newborn. It's just crawling. But it is different. What we try to do is not a chain, even when we're expanding right now and trying to grow into the big markets of Houston and Dallas. What we want is to provide a service and good food and chef-driven restaurant that is different, is farm-to-table, dog-to-table.
You got to make a difference. So let me just give a little bit more on your background, that you're also serve as an active member on the board of your family pharmaceutical company, which is a leader in South America markets and stores that are comparable to the Walgreens or CVS. And this company was founded by your father over 30 years ago, and it's still owned by the family, which operates more than 2,000 facilities all in different countries. And your family operates brands that are the largest pharmaceutical operations and healthcare providers in South America. It's like you guys employ like 15,000 people. So I'm sure
you... A bit more of that.
More than that. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in an entrepreneurial family. You're part of a family business now. And I think that's so exciting because we're going to really specific today. You know, we do different shows. We had a show on taxes. We had a show on building a business plan. We had a show on CEOs and the duties and responsibilities of a CEO. But today we're going to do a deep dive on the restaurant business and entrepreneurship because... At Sam Houston State University, Chip, one of the things you mentioned is some of the students there, they aspire one day to open a restaurant, a coffee shop, a bar, or something of that nature. You hear that quite a bit, correct?
Yeah, and some of them are even, a couple of them have actually gotten things open, and then several of them during the course of the year when we have a class where you form a team and then you simulate starting up a business and doing all the things you need to do. And the ones that do the restaurants, when we have a Shark Tank type presentation at the end of the semester where they tell us what they're doing. And they tend to bring in cupcakes and everything else that they're going to be selling in their restaurant. They've already made stuff up. That's one of the things they like to do.
Yeah, Claudia's going to tell them today really, you know, some things at the restaurant business. Maybe they want to know, maybe they don't want to know, because it is a grueling, tough grind, but it also has its wonderful rewards. And I just want to say something about our Texas economy here. We're in one of the best economies in the United States. I don't know if you were going to open a business, you put your finger on the map where you would want to be besides the Woodland, Texas. Our growth rate in the state grew by a stellar 5.2% compared to an overall economic growth rate across the United States. It's been pretty just anemic. That's the word I'm looking for. But you're listening to the Shrimp Tank broadcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with Claudia Leonardo. And as always, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So what we're in hopes of today as we get into Claudia's story is to provide some encouragement for young entrepreneurs to get started, that you'll be able to write some things down, take away some nuggets today. A quote that I like to think about for young aspiring entrepreneurs is just Nike's quote, just do it. And another one is success does not come to you. You have to go for it. You can sit there and think about it all day long, but until you move forward and take some actions, put one foot in front of the other, it's all just an idea. And with that in mind, I want to give a shout out to a young entrepreneur in my community. And I got this through our community. What's it, Kim? The Jacobs Reserve community residents, I don't know, Facebook closed group page, something like that. But I saw this and I thought, hey, here's a young entrepreneur. I want to give her a shout out. Her name is Maddie Burt. And what Maddie said on the Facebook page, she said, I'm a rising sophomore. I like that. She distinguished herself, differentiated herself. I'm a rising sophomore at Arizona State University. I'm 19 years old. I'd like to offer my services as a pet sitter as well as a babysitter. So I can take care of your kids, or I can take care of your animals, and sometimes, hey, they're...
Take care of my husband.
Quite a bit of luck, yeah. I've been babysitting. Yeah.
He's not listening.
She didn't say anything about adults, but, you know, sometimes we need that, right? I've been babysitting for 6 years. I absolutely love kids, and as far as pet sitting, I currently have two dogs. I grew up with rabbits, turtle snakes, mice, hamsters, and one lucky cat. I'm an animal lover for sure, and would definitely give your pets the attention and love that they need to... while you're traveling. And you know what? I wished I had thought of her, because we just went on a trip and our Australian Shepherd, Cal, he didn't get enough exercise while we were away.
Where did he go?
Where did we go?
Where did the dog go?
My dad came over took care of him. And so my dad's 80 and he's got a bad knee and he can't walk very far. So my Australian Shepherd, those dogs, he didn't get a lot of exercise. But so Maddie Burt, her phone number is 832-585- 7387. She says her pricing is reasonable and negotiable. So why wouldn't you want to give her a call? It's summertime, travel time. You know what? You don't want to chuck them into these places that charge you an arm and a leg. Just call Maddie. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go into a commercial break. It's short. We're going to be right back in 30 seconds with our guest, Claudia Leonardo. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, and don't go away. We will be right back.
Nothing stirs the soul of automobile enthusiasts the way the word Ferrari does. Over 60 years of legendary success on the world's greatest racetracks and road cars of unmatched beauty, craftsmanship, and performance have made Ferraris the most coveted sports car in the world. Ferrari's newest state-of-the-art boutique and design center is now open in the Woodlands at 1501 Lake Woodlands Drive, two blocks east from Cinemark 17. Please visit and let us know why there's nothing like a Ferrari.
Right. That's right. There's nothing like a Ferrari. Very good. So we're back, and we're in the Ferrari dealership broadcasting live to you. You can hear our show every Thursday from 4 to 5 right here, the show where we interview Houston's brightest and best entrepreneurs. And don't forget, you can download a complete replay at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin, and joining me in the studio today is Claudia Leonardo. So here we go, Claudia. We're ready to take a deep dive. You know what? I told you this would be just a conversation, a chit-chat among friends. We're gonna learn from you about the restaurant business, because you certainly have a personal story that has given you a tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom and understanding about the business. So could you maybe just start us off and tell us a little bit about your story and how I know you had a kind of a fashion career, but that led you into the restaurant business. Just kind of take us from the ground and
thank you.
Your story.
I went to college for graphic design, and then I had a master in textile design, and I was hired by a company, the leading company of apparel in Mexico, but we did everything in Europe. So I work in Europe with all the manufacturers for fabrics and, you know, supplies for about 6 years, and in charge of all this creative department. And which was awesome, and I would never forget those days. I love that industry. But, you know, one thing led to the other one, and by kind of playing, you know, my brother and I started a business, a restaurant, mm-hmm. and we wanted to give it a try. We started having one Italian restaurant, very small one, and one thing led to the other one. I was in charge of the decor, the interior design, the concept menus. You know, that's what I like. That's what I do. And one thing grew. We grew over the years, and thank God we got to have a few different concepts and very high end restaurants in Mexico.
Did you have to do? Do you do your research when you open up a restaurant? Do you look at the area before? You know, thinking what sort of
demographics.
Clientele, would you like?
Absolutely.
Is that something that
you... Absolutely. You have to. You have to. The whole idea of my new restaurant right now, you know, doing Cyclone for Tex-Mex. We used to have an authentic Mexican place, which the food was fantastic. And many people, even from different Hispanic countries, would come just because it was, you know, so authentic. But then you realize that, you know, as an investor, you have to really think about your business, not just being in love with, you know, I was providing the best authentic food, probably that you could never even find back home.
Right.
But then you have to acclimate. That's what I call, you know, you have to adjust.
Adapt and adjust.
You had to adapt to the market, the local market. And for sure, if we, you know, the other concept you were talking about is Nick's, the Fish Dive and Oyster
Bar.
That's
my favorite place.
And mine.
Yeah.
I know. You know,
I like oysters.
Oysters are magnificent, and there's, you know.
You can't cook them, though. Don't cook them.
Oh, well, there's pretty good.
No, I like them. I like them.
Oh, my God,
grill.
The char grilled. Or, you know.
Oh, yeah, with some butter and lemon and a little, you know, garlic.
No, they're it's divine. They're great
there's
bakers.
No way you can fix oysters that I don't like.
There you go.
I'll try yours, though. Well, we'll try yours.
No, well, you know, oysters, they can be fried, char grilled, on the raw, on shooters. You know, we're launching a new menu that is going to be, you know, really culinary wise a little bit higher, right, you know. And that's the thing, you know, many people tells me, why do you call it a dive? This is not a dive. Well, it's because the concept and in this taste for oysters is really related to high price.
And you go, and it's high beautiful end, in there. You go, you know? And then it's like being on a really fancy.
No, it's cool. Yeah, but relaxed. I mean, but it's relaxed. It's chill. Yeah.
And we're bringing the oysters available and reachable to everybody. Mm. You know, our prices are really
your
reasonable.
Your happy hours are brilliant. they're the best.
This is sounding better all the time. Yeah, I'm going to have to get there.
I think we're going to go check it out later. But one thing about Claudia I've observed is she doesn't think small. She's not in a food truck back in the, you know, back in a subdivision somewhere. She's in this prime, you know, right at 21 Waterway, prime, you know, spot. And I think that maybe you had an appreciation about if you're going to do this, you're going to do this the right way, in a big way.
Absolutely. It's location, mm-hmm. location. Mm-hmm. And if you go around, and we had just this discussion with one of my partners and consultant, and, you know, right now there's so many new restaurants making it really well, but it's not great food. Mm-hmm. Really, it's not great food, but it is, and not even good service, mm-hmm. but it is the location.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end, everything has to be playing together. You have to put, you know.
You got
to
have it all, right?
I mean, this is one of the things you run into with inexperienced people and with students is, oh, I got a great price on a location. Well, is it a good location? Well, yeah, I got a great price.
Yes.
You know, well, maybe you didn't get a great price.
Yeah, maybe you had the best food, the best service, but you're in a junky, you know, a location people don't want to come to. I just think that the business is probably so competitive that you really have to align.
You have to be different as well. That's the
big thing. You have to differentiate, but you got to really bring it all together. And you have
to bring it all together. At the end, it is about the food. You know, if the service was a bit, you know, not great, but your food was fantastic, you will come back,
you, will
you know.
Back, yeah.
But if the food was bad, not even if your service was fantastic, if the food is just not good,
yeah.
I think that's one
truth,
of the things.
Yeah,
you know?
One of the things we run into with students also is all of them, they're going to do it cheap. We're going to have the lowest price. That's what everybody's going to do. That's going to be our
You're
advantage.
Thinking like a college student, you know, and it is all about low price.
Yeah,
right?
And but you have to tell them, no, wait a minute, you're going to have to do something with quality. You're going to have a quality product or quality service or something. They're going to have to pay for something quality somewhere.
And I'm so glad you're making that point, you know, because when you are a seafood restaurant, you're talking about high proteins and high prices. And we do everything fresh, mm-hmm. and everything is from scratch, and everything is farm to table, dock to table. It's chef driven. I have a chef that works 70 hours plus, you know, to have everything fresh and from scratch. And he does the prep himself. And I have a great team. I have a great staff. And that doesn't come easy.
Or cheap.
You know? No.
You can't bring it all together and make it rock bottom cheap.
But it is funny because, you know, you have to be affordable, but then you're offering the best product and the best quality. So that's the tricky part. But people appreciate. Yeah. But people appreciate definitely the quality.
So I don't know, Chip or Catherine, did either of you ever work in a restaurant as a young person?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Gives you a real help. Chip, did you?
I don't, but it's a funny thing. One of the things I always do with students is I'll say, how many of you have ever worked in a restaurant? And I'll get a show of hands. And I'll say, okay, how many of you, when you go to a restaurant, the first thing you say is, oh, well, they don't have enough people busboying over there, or they don't have enough bartenders, or the bar's in the wrong place, or whatever. And they're all like, we do it all the time. You know, once you've worked in one, you just and you just look around and you see stuff. But
get a spot, get an eye for it. Well, I have personal experience working in the restaurants, and one thing I knew that anybody going into that business, if you don't understand that you have to work a massive amount of hours, just because that seems to be the nature of it. You know, you it's not like you just open it up at 11 o'clock. Your people get there early. There's all kinds of work to be done beforehand. There's all of these different hats that a restaurant person has. You have to know your numbers. You have to know your margins. I mean, it's really...
It's a tough industry. It's a very, very tough industry.
Do you have really temperamental chefs as well? Because they're known in the UK for having...
Throwing knives and everything.
Type of temperament.
Well,
like
what can I say?
Famous Mr. Ramsay.
Well, they're very creative. And creative people usually comes with that temper, you know. But
right, okay.
But as well... if you don't have that temper, you don't have that passion.
Yeah.
And when you have the passion, it's the only thing that will get you surviving in this industry.
I say that to
industry.
My husband when I'm throwing plates at him, passion.
Exactly. No, this is a passion. I mean, if you don't have a passion in this business, there's no way that you can make it. You know, we are crazy enough to be here. I'm sure there's many ways to make more money, you know, but when you love this and when you have the passion.
Do you cook yourself? Are you
a, I do. I love cooking, but I have great chefs and great executive chefs and great teams. So, you know, we are always, you know, as an owner, you launch ideas and, you know, you're bouncing back and forth. But as at the end, you know, it is chef driven, especially Nick's, you know. So, yes, my chef is great and he's doing a great job.
How much freedom, creativity do you give your chefs?
At Nick's, probably 99%. If he's listening to me, he probably will not agree with me, but probably 100%. Now, this is chef-driven, and this is the thing. When you have a restaurant that is unique, and we have specials every weekend. We have a butcher special. We have, you know, he goes to the docks in Galveston and gets the fresh catch of the day. He's always, you know, he's a mind of a chef. He's always thinking and thinking and creating and bringing ideas. And that's what makes it different. That's what makes
You're
it fun.
You're very lucky then so to if have you, him.
I am. And it's more than a partnership now, you know, that it's the only way to grow. And that's how we got him. You know, we said, hey, you want to grow
see that
with
when
us?
I came in last week and I met him, I could see that it was very much, you very respect him.
Because you've got, wear a lot of hats as a business owner. You've got payroll, you've got employees, and in the restaurant business, you know, you're not hiring typically executives. You're hiring young people quite a bit. Maybe the job for them is, you know, a interim, you know, place that they're just working for a little while to make some money. That can be tough, right?
So, that is really tough, especially in the Woodlands. You know, I always tell my kids, I have an 18, 15, and 13. The three of them work, thank God. They're working right now. And I always tell them, you know, you have to really fight hard for what you want, you know. And this kids, you know, sometimes it's just people that is going through college or, you know, through high school sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they're just helping themselves. And it's a learning process for them. But for the industry stuff, you know, as I was telling you before, you know, we really need in the Woodlands.
Is there an age limit that they can work at here? Do they start? Is there a law that they can start work at a certain age here?
Usually,
is it 18? They have to be 21.
I think there's they could start earlier.
They
16
can,
years old.
They 16 right. As long as you don't handle alcohol.
But right. Handle alcohol, mm-hmm. It's you know, I think 18 or something like
18,
that.
18, you can start. Handing alcohol, but you know, it's always a double-edged sword. So we really take care of the people that makes those decisions of handling alcohol to the guests.
In just a moment, we're going to go to a commercial break. But Claudia, when we come back, I want to ask you from an observation about when you see the kind of people that make it in the restaurant business. What are some of the characteristics that they need to have? And we're going to be back in just 30 seconds with our guest, Claudia Leonardo. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank. We broadcast live from Ferraria the Woodlands, and we'll be right back. We got a few more questions for Claudia, and then we got our little hot or not section that we're going to ask you, put you on the spot and rapid fire some questions and get your response to that. So we'll go to a commercial break. At Nick's Fish Dive and Oyster Bar, we are proud to offer traditional American comfort food with an edgy new spin that includes a craft bar supporting local breweries and unique wineries from California to South America and Europe. Our Oyster Bar hand-shucked oysters are brought in fresh every day from the Gulf of Mexico and the East Coast, offering a wide variety of menu temptations. Our weekend brunch offers a great a la carte menu, and on Sunday, we have an all-you-can-eat oysters and bubbles that is an unbelievable value. Come see us at Nick's Fish Dive and Oyster Bar on the beautiful waterway in the Woodlands, Texas. We're located at 20 Waterway Avenue, Suite 105. It is an experience that you won't regret. And for reservations, make sure you call 281-419-8885. All right, we are back at the Shrimp Tank, the show for entrepreneurs where you can hear us every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here in studio. And always you can download or replay the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today is my co-host, Catherine Bates, Chip Matthews from Sam Houston State University, and our special guest, Claudia Leonardo. So just before we went to break, Claudia, I was asking you a little bit about the kind of people that make it in this business. I know it's so tough. I know most small businesses don't make it. When you see people that maybe you respect and admire in your own industry, what kind of qualities do you see consistent with those people?
Passion.
Passion.
Discipline and organization.
Passion, discipline, and organization. What else?
Well, you have to be really tough. You have to be strong enough to handle hours and hours and hours of work. We work in this industry when everybody is off. We work when everybody is partying.
And that's hard being a mother as well. You're a mother of three boys.
Oh,
as well.
Absolutely.
That's
that's another subject.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think, another she has job, like three full-time jobs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Passion is entering. You started with that because one of the things we talk with students about is if you're not really passionate about an idea, you're not going to stick with it and make it work.
And you're not going to work that much. You're going to put your few hours in and want to go to the house.
Oh, no, absolutely. This is a tough industry. I mean, if young people is listening to me, I would really encourage them to really work before from the bottom, start being a bosser, start understanding, what the business is about. Start, now with those shows on TV about chefs and all these reality shows about restaurants.
It's glamorous.
It sounds
right?
So glamorous, yeah, but it is not.
So hard.
It is not. It is hard. It is. As I tell you, we never stop. It's non-stopping. And you're always ahead of the game because time is faster and faster, mm-hmm. and you needed to be ready for 2 months ahead. Right now, we have to start selling the holidays, believe it or not. You know, that's how fast this business go. And along that, you have to create new menus, and you have to create private dinners, and you have to cater.
Keep it fresh. People coming in through the doors want something different all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But I do encourage people, I have so many people that goes like, oh, I want to be a chef, especially woman. And this is a subject when you told me, well, we need woman entrepreneur. Well, I don't know. But, when I see most of girls that want to do chefs, it's a man's job.
Yeah.
It's a man's job. It's really, really hard.
It's the same in the UK. You're not respected if you're not a man as a chef. And if you're a woman, you're a cook.
Yeah.
If you're a man, you're a chef.
Yeah.
More
formal.
Everybody has my respects on that area.
From my own experience, you know what? If you want to think about getting this business, if you're willing to start young, if you're willing to stand there for hours and scrape the baked off stuff off the kitchen pots and pans, running those dishes through the dishwasher, that's easy work. Okay. So, but going in the back and scraping those pots and pans off, I can remember doing that as a kid. It actually, for me, was one of the things that sealed in my mind. Hey, I don't think I want to get in the restaurant business. So, you know what? And I got to say that from the show and maybe some of the takeaways today, if you're not cut out for this business, maybe the best thing we could help you with is figure out, hey, you need to go do something else, right? Because you got to have that passion. You got to have that heart. You got to have that work ethic. And a lot of, quite frankly, a lot of people just don't want it that bad. Is that fair to say?
This is not a 9-to-5 job. It's impossible. Now, if you want to come, I have a lot of people, great managers that come to the restaurant asking for a job. And you see these huge resumes and, they sell themselves really high. And you see all this background. But then it's just like, it's Saturday night and I'm leaving at 5:00. And I go like, well, if you leave, don't come back. Mm-hmm. Because the shift is just beginning. The service is just beginning. And we need to touch tables. We need to be on the floor.
Right.
It is a very tough industry. But it is, it's rewarding. I have to tell you that there's nothing else more rewarding than when you came to the restaurant and I met you because I touched the table and you said, this was fantastic. And that's all we live for. Mm-hmm. And that's all my team does. My team is just wanting to hear a good review, we loved it. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And that makes your day. Even if you had 12 hours of sweating and you've been prepping since 6 o'clock in the morning.
A little gratitude goes a long way.
Have you ever actually really said, if you leave, don't come back?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh,
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one.
No. It has happened quite a lot of times.
The public and customers are, they tend to, if there's one little thing that goes wrong, they make a big whoop-de-doo about it, but they could have a spectacular meal oftentimes and have spectacular service and maybe don't even take the time to show a little gratitude, right? I mean,
well, we don't care. You know, it's for us. We know that they left happy and, you know, a bad review, you know, makes terrible. It's a disaster.
How do you feel about TripAdvisor? Because a lot of people put comments on there and...
I love it. And we listen as an owner. I have to listen. Mm-hmm. And if you come and give me criticism and if somebody writes a bad review, I listen because we're here for them and because of them, because of you. So what I ask for my team is to give everybody the golden experience.
Right.
You know, I want you back. I want you to feel at home.
Mm-hmm. All the time. Best effort all the time. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest business owners all across the state of Texas. We're in the studio today with Claudia Leonardo. And always, don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So now we're going to speed it up a little bit. My timekeeper over there, Betsy, says that we're all getting a little long-winded. We're going to run out of time here. But we want to play our little hot or not section. So we're going to rapid-fire you a few little questions, just get your input on what you think about some of these ideas. And you can just say hot or not, or we'll talk about it. But first thing is how do you feel about hiring family members, hot or not?
No.
No. What happened? You've had to fire one of those boys?
Conflict of interest.
Huh? Did you have to fire one of those boys?
Yeah, sometimes. You have to.
You got
to
be tough. It's tough like you know, one of our clients is a head football coach, and his son is an assistant coach, and he's like, we were having lunch in Louisiana the other day talking about it. He said, you know, sometimes he's wearing the dad hat, and sometimes he's wearing the boss hat, and sometimes the son has a hard time seeing the dad in the boss hat, right?
I sacked my daughter from a job. My 20-year-old, I sacked her because she was being lazy.
Sacked is British for fired.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Sorry, does it mean something else here?
She canned her. She sacked her.
I fired her. No,
did she, you? Really? Yeah, how'd that go over?
She got over. She's still my daughter, so.
Yeah.
Exactly. She didn't come back, though.
They don't take it easy, right?
Yeah. My 18-year-old is working right now at the store, but we had to put a filter there. You know, I'm not his boss.
That's it.
Okay.
Somebody else is his boss, you know.
Great
idea. But I asked the boss to treat them without any privileges,
that's,
you know,
really,
because I really want him to grow. And
okay, so Claudia, business plan, hot or not, having a business plan.
Definitely.
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 Okay.
If you don't have one, you don't know where to go.
Yeah, I guess that's like traveling somewhere. If you don't have a roadmap, you don't know where you're going. And for you, was that a pretty formal process or was that something more that was an outline?
No, you have to stick to it. You have to stick to it. You have to. There's no other way.
All right, good. So I think that when we had these conversations before, and we even did a Shrimp Tank episode on a deep dive about how to build a business plan. So advertising your business, hot or not?
Absolutely hot. You have to when you're ready.
Yep.
When you're ready.
When you feel good enough, then you say it.
Hey,
no, yes, because sometimes you have to wait for that. You know, when we open, I didn't want to be crushed and give bad service or bad food. You know, you have to get everything in pace so you can start advertising. But remember that there is no better advertisement than the mouth, the word of mouth. You know, so.
Yep. Okay.
If somebody lives happy, 25 people will know it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about having a mentor, hot or not?
Hot, absolutely.
Yeah.
I always learn from the best, and I will keep learning all my life. And I'm happy always to welcome mentors to my team.
Was your dad and your family and the family business that you grew up in, were there mentors there for you?
Absolutely. My dad is still mentors for me, and I we are in the third generation now, and it's funny that you mentioned that before. The third generation in the family business, in the pharmaceutical business, it is proven that in that generation, big businesses get lost in the family.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So yeah, we don't hire any more family. There's no family involved. You know, we hire the best CEOs all over the world to have in our team as you know, we do run a board of directors and a family board member.
Right, right.
But definitely, we do have.
Yeah, I can see where you.
So you're dealing with the family issues by basically outsourcing the management to professional managers,
correct,
people like that.
Yeah,
okay.
They have it's a family business. CEO Claudia, you're a board member of that.
Well, yeah, we have the board of the family.
Yeah,
but the business is not run by family at all.
Uh-huh.
At all. We hire the best people. It comes to the point that you have to teach the third generation how they will. I mean, what they will inherit at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, third, fourth generations, once the kids are not hungry anymore. They don't know
they
business anymore.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, and you have to teach them what they will be dealing with.
Keep it in professional hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are the third and fourth generations taking this?
Oh, they love it. No, believe me. The policy in my family is when they turn 18, they get to come to the family board, and we teach them. And every CEO, every month, we have all-day sessions where they keep informed of what the business is, how the business is run, the decisions that are made, why they are made. So trust me, for these kids in you know, my children and my nephews and nieces, it's like going to Ivy League school,
Let them learn along the way.
Exactly.
And learn in the best possible environment. So we're going to go to one more commercial break. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live from the Ferrari studio with our guest Claudia Leonardo. And we got a couple of more questions. We are running a little bit short on time, but let's take a little quick break here and we'll be right back. Is planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put off planning for your future any longer. Get started today. You can call us at 281-466-4843 or visit us on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. Okay, we're back, and we're having just such a great conversation. We're having a lot of fun. We're really learning a lot about a very successful restaurant business and someone that built that business from the ground up, and we're with Claudia. So we got a couple of other questions, and then we have a little segment of our show called Plead the Fifth. But a couple of other things we wanted to just ask you about is how do you separate leadership and management? You know, you're a leader of a group of people, but then you are managing them on a regular basis. Do you hold formal meetings and outline everybody's roles for them, or how do you kind of keep everybody organized in your businesses?
Yeah, you have absolutely. We do have to have leadership and guidelines, and that's why I rely on my management team. But that management team, it has to be managed. So as an owner, I have a partner, Ernesto Vidal, and I have a consultant partner, Don Christopher. So yeah, we all keep together and we keep the management meetings going, and you know, setting up the guidelines and the expectations, and they as management managers, they pass it on to their staff and on, you know.
That's good. That saves micromanaging, doesn't it?
And you've learned to delegate along the way, obviously.
But if they're listening to me, they know that I come to the restaurant and I go like, whoop. It's just like having an X-ray in 3 seconds, you know. You start looking at everything, and it's quite a difficult not to micromanage, you know, because, you know, it's an everyday operation.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Off the wall. If you had a dinner party, what would be your three guests and why? What for? What reason? Anybody in the world, alive or dead? Anybody? Who would you have?
Oh my gosh, that's a very tough question. How?
Just three.
Hey, I can think of three right here.
Would you have
right here? Right? Yeah.
Would you have the Queen?
Would you?
Queen of England.
Three.
Not really.
And you do dinner parties. You do like private events and all
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right?
We do.
We talked about that, actually. We're going to talk about having some little private client shows.
That's where we have most fun, because we do prefix menus and we have wine dinners. We offer beer dinners, craft beers. That's what we do, you know. The bar is craft bar, and the beers are craft beers, local beers, supporting, you know, all the breweries
local
in Texas.
Brewery, yeah. Yeah.
And right now we are about to organize I cannot say the name, right? It'll be say the brand?
Say the brand.
Well,
yeah,
Herman and Marshall's.
Yeah,
it's a whiskey bourbon dinner, and it's completely different. It's going to be such a fun event.
Yeah, you can say
when
the name.
When is
here.
That?
This is our show. We
this is probably happening at the beginning of September.
Right. Okay.
End of August, beginning of September. But it is probably, you know, 4 to 5 courses. And pairing with bourbon, rye, and whiskey.
Good,
and they're local. They're
we'll
from,
give it a try,
from
yeah.
Texas.
I can walk home.
Right. Yeah. Catherine just
said. We may all be walking home.
You live close by, so you can just walk.
Okay, so we got a little segment here. This will be our wrap-up segment. It's called Plead the Fifth. We're going to ask you I'm going to ask you a few questions, and you know what? You get a free opt out of one by just say, "Hey, I plead the fifth."
Oh,
so
okay.
the other ones you can give us kind of a short answer for, but here we go. Okay. And don't worry. We're not going to put you on the spot too bad, Claudia, but
I'm afraid now.
First question. So is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
If you can keep up with it.
Should we ask Mrs. Goodwin?
Uh-huh.
Kim, what do you think
Kim?
About it?
she said yes.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Hey, it's, you know, I got 24 years, so, you know.
Yeah, you
so have you ever had two employees hook up in the restaurant?
Oh, yes. All the time. And it's a conflict.
It must be terrible.
Hold on. Hookup means different thing. Kim gave me the look right there, but, you know, just like start dating, right? That doesn't mean that you caught him in an act in the
dating.
Cooler, right?
Well, actually, we have had quite a few.
In the cooler?
And come on. I'm talking about they fell in love, they got married, I got to go to the wedding.
Oh, and they met at work?
They met at work. And there are some other ones that, you know, it's just like, okay, who's quitting?
Okay.
You know, who's getting fired?
One of you has to go.
One of you has to go.
Well, we haven't really challenged her very yet. She's like, okay, have you ever missed or come close to missing payroll?
Missing payroll?
Yeah.
No.
Don't worry, people. You're going to get paid if you're working for Claudia.
Today, everybody gets paid.
Everybody's
getting a check in about 15 minutes.
All right.
So,
So who's your most fierce competitor?
I have a lot.
Damn.
I have a lot. Yeah, we have a lot.
Seafood,
I mean,
like Pappas or Papados?
Who's the one that really...
Oh.
Yeah, like if you could, you know...
You don't have to say them because we don't want to advertise.
If somebody, their store burned up, you wouldn't like... Shed a tear.
I don't wish that for anybody. I think I believe in good competitors. Mm-hmm. I think the better they are, the better we have to get. And I believe in good competence. Is that competence? Is that the
competition?
Word? Competition?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that. That's good, you know.
Okay, running short on time. We got a couple more. Who's the best looking entrepreneur you know?
Oh, your wife is here. Otherwise, I would.
Did we get
my father?
Your father.
Yes.
Okay. Did we get a?
I actually think it's you.
dream car or dream vacation?
Oh, dream vacation. I wouldn't care less about
a car.
We're
in the Ferrari dealership here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's boys' toys. You know,
boys' toys.
I love to travel and.
Is it lonely at the top?
Absolutely. Yeah, many times. Yeah, I'm a single mother of three, and
because all your friends are you know probably working and going on vacation, and you're working.
Uh-huh, right? Absolutely.
Okay,
I think you and I should go to Vegas.
Whoa, I'm on.
I got to wrap us up here, guys, because you know the producer over there is giving me the stink eye, and we're running short on time.
But I didn't play the fifth.
She, no, we haven't.
Good girl.
All right. All right, here you go.
Uh-oh.
Trump or Hillary?
Oh, why play the fifth? I'm in Texas.
He's been dying to say that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I
could save that one.
I could put you on the spot if we really need to. Yeah. This was
I didn't talk about politics, religion, or... What's the other one? What's
Football.
The third one?
Sex. Soccer.
Sex. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Did you say what?
We've already talked about sex.
Sexy football. Okay, so listen, this was a great and fun conversation. We're here with Claudia Leonardo in our studio. And you want to join us every Thursday at 4 p.m. And we'll bring our next guest to the show at the Shrimp Tank broadcast live. Don't forget that you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter. Anybody else with any final comment before we wrap it up?
I just want to thank the opportunity for being here. It was a great pleasure to be here with you. And if you don't have anything else to do, I think we can grab some oysters at Nick's.
We're gonna shoot our little post show wrap up. But Claudia, somebody wanted to get in contact with you and learn a little bit more about your businesses and your restaurants. And what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
Oh, you can email me at Claudia@nicksfishdive.com.
Claudia@nicksfishdive.com. How about a phone number?
It is 281-419-8885.
Fantastic. That's a great show. Join us next week. We've had a great time here, and we'll have our post-show wrap-up coming up. Thanks for everybody for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, it's life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank, big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.